I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. Pumped for a different time slot here, noon show, Monday, after the divisional round. Joining us, great friend of the pod, longtime friend of the pod, JLC, Jason Lockefour. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Holmes? Good to see you.
Orioles hat, computer. Through the computer. Be better to see you in person, but whatever. We'll make it work. Better in person, like 5 o'clock with beers, then, but you know.
Yeah, that would be good.
I was going to ask you about the Orioles, but I don't want to. We'd go on Orioles too, like baseball tangent.
You ask, I'll answer. It's your vessel. I'm just along for the ride. You can pilot this any way you want, Brinson.
I mean, sometimes I can. Sometimes I get in trouble for it.
8 prospects in the top 95 in Baseball America, but who's counting?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's good, man.
3 to top 15, 8 to top 95.
Man, good for them. Orioles need to be good again. To football, though. I think it's really interesting that in this hiring cycle that we only got 5 head coaching like openings, but we got like a billion offensive coordinator openings. I think to me what that says is in the
you're going to be kicked off this podcast. Stop. Relax. It's time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Copper locking for a.
Yeah, there we go. That's how we roll around here. Okay, can you relax? Give me a half hour.
Copper, long time podcast devotees know Copper locking for very well.
They're gone. It's over, GG. We're good. Thank you. I'm sure you can edit all that out, right?
Yeah.
Or is this live?
Oh, we're live on the internet, yes.
Is this live in some fashion?
We are live on YouTube, yes. There are people chatting.
We are live on YouTube.
Yeah.
GG, you made it big. You're big time now.
So.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. The coaches, not a lot of head coaches fired, but a lot of coordinators fired. And that says to me that like there's a lot of coaches who are close to getting fired, because if you're firing your coordinator, if you got 10 openings, it means a lot of coaches who are on the hot seat. It also means it's gonna be really hard to find 10 people who can be offensive coordinators in this league, especially when a guy like Daryl Bevel is declining to interview with the Jets and the Washington football team.
Well, yeah, and that 10 doesn't even really include the teams that are hiring new head coaches who.
Correct.
Newsflash, them are keeping much of the current staff, especially at positions that vital. I wrote about this in the Washington Post about 6 weeks ago, and I set the over under AFC alone, and we're pretty much there. And some of these teams don't know who the quarterback's going to be. which right. is part of the reason some of these guys have trepidation, you know, saying, well, yeah, it's great. You know, New York football Jets. Who am I coaching up? What is his skill set? You know what I mean? How long are we going to have him? You know, Baltimore, another one. Like, you just, like, what's going on? Like, that's great that you say Lamar's going to have some input in this hire, but Lamar might be traded by the combine. So it's tricky, sort of wicked. And I think some of it will be like, will a guy like Frank Reich decide to do something like that? And there's one or two places I think he might. But outside of that, I don't think Frank Reich's coming in to save your offense. I think Frank Reich's either coming in to be your head coach, or Frank Reich will wait for somebody to be to offer him the opportunity to be a head coach. Although I would say the two situations in LA are kind of interesting, because there's a lot of people who think that the next coach of the Rams is going to end up on that staff in some capacity this year to get a feel for it. You know what I mean? To kind of like have McVay give him the cliff notes through the year and then turn it over to him. And then the Chargers, obviously, because of this quarterback, who, you know, thoroughbred, who they treat like he's a plow horse. Everybody wants to get their hands on him.
The one thing, though, about the Chargers gig is, if you take that job, yes, you get to work with Justin Herbert. If the team's great, it, you know, you're going to be propelled to a position, you know, a spot where you likely could get a head coaching position in the future. But if you don't make the playoffs, you might be getting fired too. Like, you know, it could be like, there is a chance of a one and done season with the Chargers.
Or you put up 28 points in the first half and the head coach blows it and you just get promoted to head coach.
Right. That is. Okay. All right, that's an interesting one. What about in Dallas? I know Jerry Jones said there are no changes coming. Like, Sunday night's outcome doesn't affect Mike McCarthy's job. Do you think we see any changes in Dallas, whether it's Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn leaving? Or, I mean, like, it feels like Mike McCarthy, you know, Jerry Jones, everyone's like, Jerry Jones loves Sean Payton, and he does. Jerry Jones also doesn't love being wrong. He doesn't like being wrong. And if he fires Mike McCarthy, it means he was wrong.
Yeah. Well, look, had they lost that game in Tampa, I was pretty convinced from people who would know that he was going to fire McCarthy and try to hold on to Quinn. Now, they won that game handily. This was a close game. So I don't know that Jerry really is up for it right now, but I think Jerry's going to lose Dan Quinn. So is that like, does he do that same mental calculus now? That it's real, right? Dan Quinn could run around the country interviewing. He's going to get one of these. Does Jerry have flip a switch? Say, well, I can convince him my job's better than theirs. I don't think we get there. And remember, there's way more layers to this now than ever before. And some of these owners, I think, in part, didn't make a fire because they didn't want to have to go through this, the DEI training, the multi-levels of, you know what I mean, interviewing coordinators and coaches and the expanded Rooney rule. I had two GMs over the weekend tell me they're pretty convinced that at least one team punted because they're just like, we're not going to go through all that net. Like, we're just not.
Wow.
We're just not going there. You know what I mean? And Big Brother's watching really close. You can't just go get your guy, you know what I mean, and hire one African-American candidate and pretend you know that this wasn't already baked into the cake. It was just a 3-day process. Like, those days are over. No one's been hired yet, and nothing seems imminent as we speak right now. The regular season's been over for 2 weeks, so this is definitely complicated things. I hope it achieves its goals. I hope we do see people doing the right thing and being sort of just and equitable, keeping an open mind through these processes. But there's always unintended consequences, right? Like, there's things that nobody sort of thought through. And some people just stick with the status quo because I don't want to go through all that. Could be an unintended consequence.
Interesting. So, in other words, the guy who's bad at his job keeps his job for like an extra year or two because they're like, we don't really want to deal with these, like, you know, standard hiring practices and every other.
Yeah. Not the Wild West anymore.
Yeah, because you really could. You could, like, you just call Jim Caldwell. And, you have Jim Caldwell just stop by, you interview him, and then you're
like, Hines Ward. I mean, there were a lot, a lot of wham, bam, thank you, mans. Like, where did that come from?
Hines Ward was called.
Didn't the Raiders interview T. Martin once? Pretty sure they did.
Yeah. I mean, the highest
when everybody knew they were hiring Gruden, like when everybody knew they were hiring Gruden.
Yeah. And there were it was like there were several like black coaches who didn't were just not going to interview. They're like, no, we know what you're doing. I'm not taking that interview. And then, but eventually you find somebody who's willing to take the interview, like Hines Ward, you know, willing to interview because there's no way in hell he's going to get hired. I think, was it Hines Ward, the Texans, when they were trying to get Josh McCown?
I think it was.
They were trying to throw everybody off the Josh McCown scent, so they went and got Hines Ward too.
Yeah.
An all-timer. To Dallas, status quo, potentially. You mentioned Lamar. I mean, you're in Baltimore. You're close to that. What I saw your radio co-host Ken Wyman tweet out, and he was in it like chatting. He wasn't like reporting or anything. But he's like he said he thought Lamar could be traded by the draft. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think if they're going to do it, they need to do it at the combine. They need to be forthright about it. And again, this is something I've written about at length at the Washington Post. Like, you could see it in the middle of the season that this thing was getting frayed and that this owner wasn't going to budge. And I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to budge. And so, like, you play it forward. Once you hit the point in time where the window to designate a franchise player closes, if they don't have a long-term deal done by then, I don't think they're getting one done. And I think they have to now. They're signaling we're never rebuilding. We're the great Baltimore Ravens. We're an elite franchise. We just retool and we keep coming at you. Well, if you wait till after the draft, I mean, you could get a stud player in this deal, but that draft capital has passed.
Yep.
And we're at a moment in time where there's the supply and demand at the quarterback position isn't there. I think Rodgers is going to be dealt. You've got Brady out there. I think Tannehill's going to be dealt. I think Carr's going to be dealt. Fields might be dealt. You might as well get ahead of all that and get as many people at the table as possible for the best thing out there, which is Lamar Jackson. And once you put the tag on him, he doesn't have to sign it until week one. He stayed away from voluntary stuff last year at 23, you know, making 23. I just don't know why he, like, why would he possibly show up? Like, why would he sign that thing until he contractually had to? He's playing by rules that were put in place when he was in elementary school. Like, just go connect the dots on these CBAs. The Ravens have had multiple opportunities to incentivize his contract. You can incentivize a fifth-year option. It's perfectly – we see people do things in this league all the time to stroke a guy. Here's extra play. Hey, we couldn't get done. We wanted to get done. Here's extra playoff incentives. Here's incentives for Pro Bowl. Here's incentives for 4,000 yards, whatever. They could have sweetened the pot for him. They never did. So I don't see him doing them any favors. Oh, and like I mentioned, they need an offensive coordinator. So they're going to hire an offensive coordinator knowing – we're going to be running a bastardized version all year because Lamar's going to sign before week one and then play by week two or three. Like, I that's for years. Years. They've had years to sign this kid. Like, no, it's over. And if you're going to trade him, you need to come to that realization quickly. And then you need to, even if he's on the exclusive rights tag, you just give him permission. Hey, we're not going after any tampering. If you get what you can get. And then you're looking at the teams who were left at the altar for Deshaun Watson. What's changed for the Atlanta Falcons? What's changed for the Carolina Panthers? How are they any – like, you could sell me Ritter a little bit, I guess, if you really wanted to. But Arthur Blank ain't selling tickets with Desmond Ritter's jersey on. Like, Arthur Blank ain't selling tickets, period, really, lately. Like, all it takes is one of those guys to say, like, okay, the Ravens have a secondary fetish. All they want is corners and safeties. Okay, we'll give you Terrell or we'll give you J.C. Horn. You got the 8th pick or the 9th pick. You got a future one, maybe a future two. Like, I can see the Ravens looking at Grady Jarrett at the end of his career saying, well, he's our new Calais Campbell. Throw him in here. We need an old head in our D-line room. Somebody we can put on a rotation, get us some interior pressure. And they're going to try to beat you 16-15 every week. Like, that's what I think it's going to be.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy that it's – like, do you think this is because – is it because Lamar doesn't have an agent and that just makes it more difficult? No. Is it the Deshaun Watson stuff? Like, what's the
– do I think this would have been done when Josh Allen got done if he had an agent? Yes, because that agent would have not let him go to any team active. Like, it would have come to a head then, right. And Bisciotti maybe would have bit the bullet then, although they were nowhere close to giving him Josh Allen. And even after Josh Allen at 43, I continue to hear these guys were more at 33, 35. But could an agent have forced the specter of we're wrecking your season, like, to get Bisciotti there? Maybe. But that didn't happen. And now he's bet on himself, and he's in a position where, again, it's going to be 45, 44, whatever it is this year. And you know what 20% on top of that is after that. So, like, do the Ravens want to give him the 23 this year, the 44, and then the 60? Just do the math. That's 130 for three, basically fully guaranteed with rolling guarantees. And he's still walking out your door at, what, 28?
Yeah.
Like, so he did what no agent would let him do. He played out the rookie contract. An agent's not going to let you do that because, A, they're worried about being fired all the time. B, they put a lot of their money into getting you ready for the combine, which they want back. And C, like, that's how they negotiate. Well, I did this big deal. I did that big deal. At a certain point in time, they're not going to tell you, yeah, kid, stick to your guns. You've got bigger balls than me. They're going to say, you really should take this. You really should take this. You really should take this. Because that's how they get paid.
Yeah, an agent doesn't get paid by you like riding out franchise tags. Like they don't want the cut of the franchise tag every like year. They want that huge cut of the full contract coming to them guaranteed over the course of X number of years.
Yes.
So you think? I mean, what percentage chance do you think he gets traded?
To me, it's far and away the most likely outcome.
Wow.
I mean,
you are right. Like the suitors are there. The Panthers and the Falcons are. I mean, David Tepper, like. One, he's got his wife. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with having your wife. This is not a feminist statement. This is a David Tepper statement. But it's like you really thought your wife needed to be on the coaching searching committee? You're like the GM was telling, it's gonna be a very small group of people. It's like his wife's on there. And she's not trained for. Like it feels like the Panthers are primed to do something stupid and give up something like give up more than what the Ravens should probably get for Lamar.
Well. Yeah, I mean, look, do I think the Ravens are going to, like, blow away the Russell Wilson deal? Like, maybe not because of what you're going to have to pay this kid. But I also think the Ravens will be, at the end of the day, rational enough to say, like, him playing out that franchise tag will really, like, just they've got to be smart enough to see, okay, we run the risk of him getting hurt again. Like, somebody's still going to probably pay him. We get less for him. And if he signs that second tag, we're stuck paying him. He's counting 60-plus million against our
team. He's going to eat up your salary cap. He's going to make it difficult to build around him. He's not going to come in until week one, so he's not going to learn the new offense for the coordinator who's, you don't even know who it is. It's going to be harder to find a coordinator because you don't know who your quarterback is or if he's going to come in. There's all kinds of reasons that it makes it really difficult to be good. This year, he'd also be pretty decent in Arthur Smith offense, it feels like, given what we saw from them so far this year. And if you're thinking, if you're talking about, you know, we saw it with the Deshaun stuff, the Panthers and the Falcons both were like, oh, we want this guy. We also, I'm like, oh my God, you don't want the guy in your division too. Like, when you get two division rivals competing for the same quarterback in the same trademark, it tends to crank it up pretty good.
And they were willing to do that for a sexual predator. You know, now they weren't willing to do what Haslam did, but they were in the ballpark. There were various points in times where they felt like either one of them was the quiet clubhouse leader until Haslam blew it through the roof. And maybe Lamar doesn't beat Watson's deal in some ways, but like there's a creative deal to be done. I'm not sure it happens here because there's just been too much back and forth and this and that. Has not, from everything I've been told, been willing to do a short-term deal. Now, maybe he will at some point this year, in the next couple of weeks. But, like, you could conceivably get a 3 or 4 year deal with him that doesn't force you to put as much guaranteed money in escrow.
Right.
Right, because you're not guaranteeing 6 or 7 years or, you know what I mean? Like,
well, David Tepper may not care about escrow.
He's one who, and Blank might not either. But there's like, I think him on a fast track in Atlanta would be, I mean, that town would be pro football buzzing like it hadn't been since Mike Vick was there. Like, even during the Matt Ryan years, like I talked to people, I co-host a podcast with Carl Dukes. We talk about this stuff. Like, that's sort of a college football town until it's not. And even when they were winning with Matt Ryan, it's not like that was a tough ticket. It's not like you couldn't get to a Falcons game. Like it was a tough ticket when Mike Vick was doing spectacular stuff every week and people couldn't wait to see, like, he was a showman. And Lamar, in that market, Lamar, I think that's what you need.
Lamar in that Falcons jersey.
This kid's only 26 years old. You're talking about injuries and this and that. I mean, he's 26 years old.
It would bring back a lot of like nostalgic Atlanta Vic, like Vic feelings. Just the way that he plays in, you know, on that track. Absolutely.
And I think you can do the deal and keep the tight end and keep Drake London. I think you can do it. Like, I can see these guys having a fetish for AJ Terrell. They got one corner on the roster right now, Marlon Humphrey, who they pay $20 million a year to be an outside corner, but he's really much better in the slot. Mm. So, and you know, maybe they bring Marcus Peters back on the cheap. Maybe he's not game for that, but the corners they've drafted have yet to show they can really play. So I they're all about their defense.
That's intriguing. I like Atlanta, Baltimore making that deal. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Sean Payton and what he's up to this offseason next. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
So, my theory at this point is that Sean Payton is simply, he failed to properly leverage his media tour and all of that into getting the Cowboys or Chargers to fire their coach. And that he's not going to actually take any of these jobs.
I don't think he wants Dallas. He wants Dallas leverage. Dallas is boogeyman. He's not going to work with Jerry Jones. That's not fun.
Yeah.
He wants to call his shots. He can't call his shots when, you know, Jerry and Steven, who you love, you know, want to question your every move. Like, it's just not.
That's true.
But it's good having that out there. The Chargers was the one. And the Chargers was the one. But they weren't, they're not up for the fight.
Do you think that
he may sit there? Like, it would not surprise me if he sits this out.
I think he'll sit that out a year and like, all right, Brandon Staley, go not screw it up again, you know?
Well, it's not just that. I mean, think about it. You could have both LA jobs open. You could have the Jets, I think. Well, Woody does not like Robert Saleh. I'm just telling you, that ain't for long. Like, you could have the Jets open if you want to be in that market and do Parcells 2.0 on the other side of town. You could have Green Bay open. You could have Tampa Bay open.
Easily.
I think more likely than not you will. I mean, that's a better field than Arizona and the Hillbilly in Indianapolis and whatever. Like,
I mean, you're not wrong. And then, like, Carolina, too, you know, that interview was put on hold.
Well, here's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, it's just going to take a one. Bullshit. Mickey Loomis isn't trading him to David Tepper it's going to be that one this year, nine. That top 10 pick, and else. I'm going to hemorrhage you next year, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean,
he's not trading him in the division.
I also think Sean Payton's too egotistical, Sean Payton is beloved in New Orleans. People in New Orleans love Sean Payton.
He doesn't want to be the villain. He doesn't have to be the villain. Yeah,
right. Just coach anywhere else other than Carolina or Atlanta or Tampa Bay. Yeah, I don't think he would coach the division, because whoever he coaches next is probably going to love him too. And then he has two fan bases who love him. And like,
you know, yes.
Saints fans won't turn on him if he's coaching the Rams or coaching the
only one of these that had a shot is Denver. I don't know. I heard the first interview was not exactly, they weren't really totally simpatico, but again, you know, enough money's nothing to the Waltons. So they might just keep throwing it. I don't know.
But yeah, that was the only theory on like David Tepper. Like, cause I went on Charlotte radio last week and they were like, all right, talk to us about Sean Payton. I don't think that's not happening. Like, I mean, now could it happen if David Tepper gives him $30 million and says you have total control of the franchise? Maybe. But even then, as we point out, like, he's not going to want to go up against the Saints twice a year. And the Saints are going to want to trade him in the division for obvious reasons, because it makes it really difficult for the Saints to win if they have to beat with Sean Payton twice a year. There's also no quarterback. Whereas in Denver, I mean, like, if they're like, hey, look, you fire George Payton, bring in whoever you want. You know, you got figure out Russ, $30 million a year. I mean, like, I could see him possibly taking that, but I agree. I think you see all these coordinators that got fired. It leads you to believe that, you know, there's when coaches are firing coordinators, the coaches are on the hot seat.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like,
it's him, not me for now. Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, if Sean Payton's, I mean, he's fine on TV, you know, whatever. Yeah, go do it for another year with Fox, and then live in LA, recharge some more, and then I think that's the more likely outcome for Sean Payton.
Yep.
Okay. Who are some names that you are you hearing any for these coordinator jobs, by the way? Because it feels like there's not a lot of buzz. I mean, there's like no buzz at all.
No, I mean it's a really weird year. There isn't. No jobs have been filled yet at the head coaching rank. So that's
Let's go there and see the coordinators. Like, what? There's no head coaching jobs filled.
Right. And again, I think the new rules of engagement have a lot to do with that. I've had some people, I've reported on this, who think there'll be multiple openings after the Super Bowl, not just because you're waiting for a guy, but just because it's the different process and it takes longer and it's sort of log jammed. So yeah, I mean, the coordinator shuffle, I don't know. I mean, it's,
there aren't 14 good offensive coordinators. They're like coordinators out there. I don't think.
No, I mean, you're some are going to end up promoting from within. Like, I just think they'll do the dance and say, we got a guy here who can kind of keep it going. Yeah, it's a weird year. It's very weird. And like, it's not even like there aren't any hires yet. Like, there aren't any backroom deals that, you know what I mean? You know about, but they just got to kind of keep the charade. Like, everybody's waiting for the first domino to fall. And maybe it will be Denver and maybe they get Sean Payton. But if they don't, you know, I think Houston wants one of the coordinators still. I think they want Gannon or Ryan's, you know. So obviously that's on hold. Those teams are in the final four. But you don't even hear that many, like that much about front runners. Like, I've heard that Tepper through this process, he was already sort of infatuated with the next bright young thing, and on the offensive side, the next McVay, that whole model. And look, if Ben Johnson doesn't pull out, like if Ben Johnson goes after that job, I think Ben Johnson had a chance to get that job, but
really,
I think what he did is smarter.
Pulling out of that job.
Well, just I'm gonna do this for another year. You know what I mean? I'm gonna let some of these other things settle. Let other people take some of these jobs, which this is not a great field. Take another year to work on exactly what my staff would look like. You know what I mean? Cross some T's, dot some I's, and there'll be better jobs out there next year. I think there'll be more jobs out there next year. And I think he'll be an it guy.
He's insanely young. He only has 1 year of coordinator too, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't need to, you know, kind of like how Kafka could have started taking head coaching interviews 3 years ago, but it's just like, you know, hey, we're probably not getting it and we're probably not ready. And if we do get it, that might be an indictment on you, because like, I'm still building up my chops. It's great that you sent that slip in, but I need to, you know, I want to get to a point where I know I'm ready and my resume says I'm ready. My body of work says I'm ready, which he's there now. And if he doesn't get one this cycle, again, he'll be right at the top of the heap next year.
So Kafka and D'Amico Ryan, you think two names that could end up filling some of these gigs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, D'Amico Ryan is probably getting a head coaching job.
Yeah.
If he wants one.
Yes. And he should get one. And it's just a matter of, you know, their team that's not fixated on the offensive side of the ball, which they seem to be, because like Leslie Frazier's got no jam, which blows my mind. And I think the Bengals are going to keep Lou Anarumo, which is shocking to me because
he's great, man.
All he does is, you know, slay the dragon in the playoffs. I mean, he's got six pelts now. Like even the Rams game, you can't put that on him. This guy's never given up more than 24 points in a playoff game. He makes amazing second half adjustments. Yep. He puts guys in positions to succeed. Last year, it's like, oh, well, everybody was healthy. He lost his top corner like 6 weeks ago. No one even talks about it. Eli Apple's making plays. Like, he puts in position to succeed. Like,
they trade for B.J. Hill.
Trade for B.J. Hill. I'm loving this right now. You know, maybe
B.J. Hill in the middle of last season.
This week, whatever, but like, that's another one that really surprised me that he wasn't somebody – no, that he wasn't having to pull out of interviews because it's like I don't have time to interview with five teams and do my job right now.
Right. Yeah, and he's getting – well, it's sort of Mike Zimmer-like in you know, in the sense that, you know, same spot too, right? It's like, I don't know, Lou Anarumo, you know, coaches are – organizations and owners and fans are easily infatuated with the – like the hot young offensive mind, right? Like Ben Johnson's getting heat, but Lou Anarumo's not. I mean, that tells you all you need to know. What do you think about these final four teams?
I mean, I think the cream rose. I think they all belong. And again, I give the credit to Anarumo. Like he's come up. Excuse me, with some special sauce for the Chiefs that I thought would work pretty well against the Bills, and it did. And then when he got the early lead, forget about it. Like now, it's just playing right into his hands, and he was not going to let Diggs and Davis beat him deep. And it got to a point where the Bills couldn't, you know, they ran the ball a little bit in the third quarter, but they couldn't do it very long, and he was perfectly happy to let you run against my umbrellas all you want. That's great. So, like, they belong in the Final Four. And there's a lot of people who've just slagged them all year or kind of acted like this is some kind of fluke again or
whatever. It's freaking Joey B. Like Joe Burr is just he's an ice cold killer.
Yeah. No, he's an assassin. Yeah, he's the baby faced assassin. And so they belong, man. They belong. They ran a gauntlet and just kept beating people. Kansas City, obviously, I mean, all Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes do is go to championship games. The Eagles were the best team in the league for most of the season until their quarterback got hurt. And San Francisco was the best defense in the season in the league pretty much since week three. And the offense took off with Purdy. Now, I think that's a tall order. Like, they're going to have to get way more pressure.
Way more pressure.
Against Hurts than they did against Dak. Like, they got to get something going up front. And I think, you know, as sort of counterintuitive as it sounds, I think Kyle Shanahan's going to have to play this game like he's playing with house money and he's already done. You know, like, okay, I've gone as far as I can with Purdy. Like, if he plays the conservative way he played yesterday at Philadelphia, he's going to get boat raced. He's going to have to come out and just be like, kid, don't be afraid to make mistakes, but we're not going to be able to, like, just run the ball into a brick wall, you know what I mean? And try to win this thing 17-14 like they could against Dallas. Like, that's not at home against Dallas. That's not going to fly in Philadelphia. Like, it's not. I
agree.
You know, I like the Eagles there. This is going to be this is a whole different challenge for Purdy than anything he's ever seen before. And there are some cracks in the facade right now. And I think Kyle Shanahan the way he handled that game was a portal into how limited they kind of are, but he's going to have to unshackle that, I think.
And well, that's also like a portal into who, like how Kyle Shanahan likes to coach too. You know, I mean, he is not a cut it loose, get nuts. Like I thought, I mean, you know, Zach Taylor, for instance, you know, I don't think is like, I've come around him a lot more over the last.
Yeah.
6 to 8 months or even 6 to 8 weeks as a coach. But like I said, you know, all on HQ, on pause, everything is like the Bengals have to come out and throw the ball early and let Joe Burrow keep it, get in Joe's hands let Burrow cook, get it out quick, and get it to these. And they did that. Like, if they come out trying to run with Joe Mixon and just like establish this ground game, I think they lose the game. And the Bills score on them early. And like that was an aggressive way to approach that matchup. The Niners kind of have to do that too, or do something. Just like they should be aggressive.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think they do. I think Zach got a little overboard the end of the first half. I don't know what that was going from his nine. Like, I really, boy, risk reward. I wouldn't run that back. Like, that was 30 seconds. I mean, and it took all of that in the snow to get to midfield for the
two timeouts. But on the other hand, it was like, hey, look, we're not playing. You know, we're playing to win. We're not. You know, you send that message to your team. Send that message to the Bills. You let them know.
And like, if he had a minute, I'd have thought a little more of it than like 27 seconds or whatever it was from his nine. But and then Kansas City, like, look, there's no way Patrick Mahomes is going to be Patrick Mahomes through all four quarters of that game. Maybe he is through most of the first half, and then stuff starts wearing off, and you tape it back up, but you really can't shoot it back up. Like, I just think it's going to be a factor. And with Anarumo having such a beat on that offense, and now maybe you don't even have to mush rush as much because this cat's not coming outside the pocket.
Yeah. Like, the way Mahomes beats you in the playoffs is extending plays and using his legs to get out the pocket, again, extend plays, or to run for third run and get first downs on those big third downs. And he just it's just backbreaking third down after backbreaking third down. And if he can't do that, look, he can still win. I mean, obviously he's Patrick Mahomes. I'm not putting anything past him, but man, I mean, a physically limited in terms of mobility, Patrick Mahomes, that's a problem for the Chiefs.
And look, I think you just talked about Zach Taylor. They're gonna come out knowing if we get up two scores on these guys, they're in trouble. And the Chiefs did give up 33 passing touchdowns in the regular season, most in the NFL, and that's not a great defense. And, you know, could you know, Chris Jones and some of those guys wreck their season because of the lack of offensive linemen? I mean, maybe, but the quick pass game and, you know what I mean, enough Mixon and Piran to keep them honest, I don't know. Like, and we've seen Joe Burrow get – I mean, what did the Titans hit him? 12, 14 times in that game, and he still won? Like, I just think it's – the margins are going to be slim to me for the Chiefs. And they need to keep game script in a way where they can Pacheco and McKinnon you to death, you know, with the short stuff to Kelce to move the chains. But, I mean, as many balls as Kelce caught, what was his average per catch? I mean, at one point he had like 14 catches for like 55 yards. Like, that's and that's death by a million paper cuts, which means tip ball here, ball off a shoulder pad there. That might be a turnover for Anarumo. You take the element of explosion in the run game and the pass game away from the Chiefs. And again, I don't know that he can make seven-step drops. I don't know that he can play under center. He couldn't backpedal.
Yeah.
You know, like, he might just be a standing, he might be kind of like a standing target in the shotgun, in the pistol all day.
Yeah. Spread is sitting around just hovering
around. And it's one thing to have to rush Patrick Mahomes wondering about what happens when you don't get there. If you're rushing Patrick Mahomes and you know that's the spot, the target spot is the target spot.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
We are going to blitz you. We're going to bring more than you can cover. And the target, like, you know exactly where you're blitzing to. You're not blitzing to an area. You're not worrying about contain. You're not worrying about who's behind you. Like, that's a whole different scenario.
Yeah, you're not saying, all right, we're blitzing here. We're blitzing Mahomes. And then, you know, Jermaine Pratt, you're going to spy him if he gets out of the pocket, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like, he's not moving and we're sending everybody there. That line's sitting at one. I would guess it probably sits there one or a pick basically all week long. If we get bad news from Mahomes, of course, it could flip to the other side. Eagles line looks like it is jumping up to three. It's at -2.5, -115. That's probably about where it should be too. Like, Eagles -3. I think home field advantage against Brock Purdy. Like, he is, it's impressive what he's done, but NFC Championship game is a whole different beast. You're in Philly against a really good football team.
Yes.
You know, with the rookie quarterbacks 0-4 in championship games in NFL history.
Yeah. I think they're in for a tough sled in there. I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Good football team. All right. Did I forget anything? Any rumors you're hearing out there? Did you want any baseball talk?
No, I mean, not really.
We're heading up in May. I think my dad and I are going to go up and see a Nats game. I try to sneak into an O's game too.
Yeah, if you're doing that, you should definitely plan it while the O's are in town too.
Yeah, that's right.
Far better product.
A far better product.
Well, Nats are going to lose 100 games easy.
Nats are terrible. My buddy Zeke, who lives in D.C., texted me. He's like, Branson, my worst fears are coming true. The Nats are going to lose 100 games, and Sam Howell is going to be the starting quarterback for the Washington team. This is hell on earth, buddy.
He's got a better shot with Howell on that defense than he does anything Nats related right now.
James Woods,
the future.
The problem is Howell's a Carolina guy, so it's very upsetting to see.
So he's a state guy like you?
Yeah. He sees the future that's coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for us. What's up?
Good to see you guys.
Likewise, man. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For JLC, I'm Brenton. We'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.